Yeah. I don't need that. I don't need that. Am I on? I am. Good morning. It's good to be with you all once again. Once every year, we're here, and I'm blessed and I'm honored to be able to come to your church and to deliver God's word to you. That is a very big honor for me, and this to me is sacred ground, holy ground. So I realize that, and I just thank the Lord and Bishop, Pastor, Reverend Dr. Rulliford for allowing me the honor to stand behind his pulpit. How many of you in here have grandchildren? Don't be ashamed, raise your hand. Yeah, all a bunch of old folks. You know, grandchildren say some of the darndest things. Of course, we did that too when we were kids. But little Johnny asked his grandma one morning how old she was, and grandma answered, 39 and holding. Johnny thought for a moment, scratching his little head, and then he says, "And how old would you be, grandma, if you let go?" Kids say the darndest things. This morning, you know, it's oftentimes I struggle with being in the holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and sometimes I struggle with that as far as preparing a message. But if we pray and seek the face of the Lord, he will direct us and give us what he wants us to say for a particular day, a particular hour, and to and for a particular group of people. Do you believe that? Amen. So this morning I thought, man, I'm not going to have a message that's going to be festive or line up with Thanksgiving and Christmas. But the Lord gave me this message, and he didn't just give it for this setting. I've had this message for quite a while, but when I began to pray and seek the Lord about what will I be required to speak here at New Life for the nation's church on this particular day, and the Lord spoke very clear to me this message. So I want to pray before we start, and I'm going to pray and ask as Paul did, and the Lord did, when Paul was getting ready to address the people along the riverbank where a group of women gathered to pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day because, Lord, your word says this is the day that the Lord has made. And it says that let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, Lord, we know that that's a choice. And let us rejoice today in this word and in this message. And I pray, Lord, that it would open up the hearts of the people so that they would receive and be blessed and challenged by this word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The title of this message this morning, Can God Really Help You? Just think about that. Can God really help us? So the message, stand your ground. And I really, really want everyone to listen and pay attention to this because this is a life and death situation. This is a life and death situation that we are in now, that we are in today, in our society, where we're at as a nation, where we are at as Christians. And this is so vital to our overcoming. This is so vital to your success. It's so vital to your survival. And it's so vital to your making it from where you are right now into the kingdom. That's how important it is that we listen. Not only we listen, we hear. And not only should we hear, we need to receive this. And it's not because of the speaker. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just a messenger. If you get mad at the mailman because he put a bill in your mailbox, he didn't do it. He didn't make the bill, you did. So don't get mad at me. If you don't like this message, get mad at God. He's the one that gave it to me. So the scripture says, stand and stand some more. Stand, stand, and then stand some more. Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Not some of it. It says put on the full armor of God, so that when, not if, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. And I've asked Ricardo to assist me this morning before we go any further, and I'm going to ask Brother Ricardo to come up here. And it's always good to use a vision of something so that once you see this, it'll help you as we progress through this message this morning. So the scripture says to stand. And I've asked my brother to come up here and stand. Now he's just going to stand like all of us, we would just stand. So I am his opposition. I am his enemy. I am the one that's going to try to take him off guard or off of the place that he's standing. So if Ricardo's just standing here relaxed and the way he is now, it's easy for me to shove him from where he stands. So yes, he's a Christian, and yes, he's standing. And I know that he's just standing. So it's very easy, and Ricardo's a tough guy. I know that. But you see how easily it was for me to move him off of where he's standing? Now, I'm going to ask Ricardo to take a defensive stance, and he's going to do what the Bible says that you and I need to do, and that is to stand firm. There's a difference between standing. Now, look at the difference. When he takes up a resistant stance, he's going to dig in, and I'm going to try to just with the same measure of strength that I did before, I try to, look, I can't move him. I cannot move him. Thank you, Ricardo. I couldn't move him because he did what the Bible tells you and me to do, and that's to stand firm. So if, as a Christian, and I just don't read my Bible, I don't pay attention to what I read, I don't study, I don't pray, and I just merely come to church and warm a chair, sing in the choir, play an instrument, but I'm not studying to show myself approved. I'm not training myself to be godly. I'm not putting into what I need to be able to succeed. Listen, we're not there yet. We have, just as the Apostle Paul, we've not arrived yet. We're still working to get there. We should be training ourselves to get there. We're not there yet. Three times in the above scripture, we are told to stand. The list of spiritual armor does not include anything for our backs because we are not meant to turn our backs. We are meant to stand our ground, face the attack, and deal with it. Now listen, you as a Christian, a confessing, professing Christian, people are watching you. People, whether they admit it or not, they see something that you have, and they may want what you have. So it's very, very important for you and I that when we take a stand, we take such a stance that there's going to be attacks in life. There will be many, because the scripture tells me many are the afflictions of the unsaved. Come on, challenge me. Tell me I'm wrong. Thank you. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. You mean to tell me? I'm saved. I love Jesus. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I help walk old ladies across the street. Isn't that enough? The Bible tells me many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I love this, out of the Bible. I love this. I love to quote it. I love to say it. I love to claim it. But God. Oh, hallelujah. But the Lord. But the Lord shall, not maybe. Jesus never had the word maybe in his vernacular. It's not in his vocabulary. His dictionary doesn't even have it listed. Jesus said, but the Lord shall not maybe deliver him from them all. From how many? So what's the problem? What's the problem? Right, brother? What's the problem? So we need to stand. Not only stand, but we need to stand firm. You see, when we read the Word of God, or if we're sitting in church like we are now, we hear it preached, we don't really catch it because the enemy doesn't want you to know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He doesn't want you to know that. He don't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to be equipped and ready to come against him. Does not the Bible say resist? Just like Ricardo, when he was standing there the second time, he resisted me. I couldn't move him. I'm up against somebody I can't move. So you know what? I'm going to leave him alone. I'm going to go over here and shove somebody else over. Easy. I'm going to come over and steal their stuff because I have no resistance. But the Bible tells me, encourages me to resist the devil, and he might. Come on now, preach to me. He might. So where are we? He will flee from you. You, Jack, is that true? Is that really in the Word of God? Absolutely it is. And it is true. We have been so deceived as Christians. We've been so blown over that we can't grab a hold of the Word of God that's going to save our life, brother. I'm more than a conqueror. Wouldn't it have been enough if God would have just said, you're a conqueror? Well, of course. But he went further than that because he knew there was going to be a hard-headed guy named Jack Ernest come along. That wasn't enough for him, so I needed. And God put that in there. You're more than a conqueror. So how can you lose? How can we lose? Wow. If you're under a spiritual attack, do not turn and run away. You will be unprotected and in more danger. You have the weapons to win, but you must stand and use them. You've got to stand. Throughout Scripture, God tells his people to stand firm. Stand firm. When Moses was leading the Israelites up out of Egypt and away from the Pharaoh, they began to complain, just like we do. But Moses said to them, do not be afraid. Fear not. We don't get it. Fear not. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Stand still and see. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Once again, listen how many times as we go through this message that you're going to hear, stand firm. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face him tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. Psalm 20, verse 8. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Isaiah 7, 9. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Wow. Isaiah 7, 9. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Listen to me. This is what's happening. Thank you, darling. Thank you very much. This is what's happening in so many churches and with Christians nowadays. If you do not stand firm, you will not stand at all. You saw the illustration with Brother Ricardo and I, how so easily it was to move him off of where he stood. But when he took up and stood firm, because this was his ground, this was his place, his ground, and he was going to protect it, he was going to stand there unmovable, unshakable, stood his ground, it would have took a lot of effort to shove him off of that spot. And that's why, listen, to you and me, why are churches closing their doors? I'm preaching all over the United States, and I see it everywhere I go, and I see people, and they're sitting in church services, and they're sitting like this, and they're looking at this thing called a watch. I have seen, listen to me, I have seen people texting on their cell phones in church. And you know what I do if I see you doing that? I will come up to you and gently remove the cell phone from your hand. And if you try to resist, you better stand firm because I'm taking it. We need to realize who we are and where we're at. I'm telling you, listen, please hear me. You are an example. If I'm going through a difficult time in my life, say I'm not a Christian, or even maybe I am a Christian, and I'm going through a difficult time in my life, I want to be able to come to one of you and say, listen, can we talk? I don't even know if I'm going to make it. Can I talk with you? I want you to pray with me. But if you and I don't have that going on in us, you may be the lifeline to somebody. As Laverne shared here this morning, this person took their life. I can relate to that because my brother took his life. We are not merely told to stand, but to stand firm. This is what I found. Resisted. This is a definition of firm. The word firm, this is the definition. Resistant to externally applied pressure. That's what Ricardo displayed. Securely fixed in place. Once again, not subject to change. Fixed and definite. Unfluctuating. Steady. Are you steady? Are you up and down, fluctuating? Well, I don't know if I'm going to go to church this morning or not. Might go fishing. Might just get ready for the game. If we want victory in our lives in any area, we have to make our minds up that we are going to stand. It will not be easy, and it may take some time, but God has promised victory. And Jesus secured it on the cross. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. But you must believe that. It's not enough to be a church attendee. You must make a choice today and for the rest of your life to be a believer or merely an attendee. It's up to me. Listen. It's not, this all applies to me too. I have to make choices in my life daily. I have to stand and take stands against a lot of bad stuff. I minister to veterans. I'm a chaplain for a large veterans organization in our town. And I'm asked to speak on different occasions at different places in the United States. Veterans are some of the toughest guys to deal with, believe me and trust me. Some of them are crazy. I'm one of them. Don't laugh, but they got a lot of problems. They got a lot of problems, a lot of emotional problems, a lot of suicides. And if I don't take a stand, when I go to these meetings and stuff, and these guys will cuss the paint off the wall. But you know what? They're not going to cuss me out of their midst. Amen. I refuse to leave. Amen. I refuse to back off. I'll stand in that room, and these guys, I mean, I'm telling you, these guys will cuss bad enough to kill a cow in the field. But I ain't leaving. My influence is firm. I'm standing my ground. And after all the cussings and stuff done, you know what they do? We say, pledge allegiance to the flag before we open up a service. They turn to me and he says, Jack, pray. And I pray a serious prayer. I don't just pray, okay, blah, blah, blah. I pray for them. I pray for their families. I know what they're going through. I took a stand, and I'll continue to stand. And so you must stand. We all want to go to glory, amen? Amen? We all want to go to be reunited with loved ones and friends, husbands, wives, children. But we aren't there yet. The battle isn't over yet. We have to stand firm. I remember fighting in Vietnam, just a young kid, 19 years old. When we went up against our enemy, we were told, hold your ground and stand firm. Fight to the last man if necessary. No being moved. There are no other options. We will not be defeated. Stand. That was the order that was given. And if you don't stand, you're going to be a number on the deceased list. We went through a lot. I myself was wounded in battle, but I still stood my ground. Amen. I stood firm, and thank God I made it. But it applies to everything, especially our Christian life. You are in a unique position. You are assured of a victory. Wow, what a wonderful position to be in. All you have to do is decide that you will stand your ground. Look, we're the winners. We're not the losers. We're the head, not the tail. We win. Read the back of the book. We win. But in order for you to get there, you got to stand your ground. We hear all this stuff about bullying in schools nowadays. Bullying. People bullying kids to the point where they take their own life. How sad. Train your children. I didn't say teach. The Bible says train. I use the same word. Train your children. Train them to stand and stand firm. The enemy does not have any real power. He works by lies and deception. He will try to convince you to give up. He will whisper in your ear that it's not working, it's too hard, and it's never going to happen. We are told in James chapter 4 and verse 7 to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will not maybe, he will flee from us. Come near to God and he will come near to you. He will attack you with doubt and fear. He may even send some well-meaning people around to gently tell you that it's time to give up. And as soon as I read that part, I thought of Job. Take no notice. The devil is a liar. God promises that if you stand firm, you will be delivered. So if you've just been standing as a Christian, if you've just been standing, you know, you're just, you know, well, we go to church, hallelujah. You know, we're just, ha. When's the last time you had to dig in your heels and stand? I'm talking real life stuff, amen? Amen. Listen, it's going to come on us. It's not if, it's when. Stuff's going to really get bad. It's already bad. Look what's happening. Watch some of the news. Are you going to be one that's going to be allow your light to be snuffed out? I'm not even saying being killed. I'm just saying taking your witness. Wow, the greatest message you'll ever hear preached is somebody's witness, their testimony. All of you in here, every one person in this place right now has got a tremendous, outrageous testimony. I could have you come up here and say, hey, tell us what your life was like before you got saved. And then tell us what it's like now. Here's the way to do it. Make your mind up to stand, then stand, stand and stand some more. When it all gets too much and you feel like giving up, keep standing. Keep standing. I refuse to let the enemy take my stand away. I'm too old to care. I'm too old now to care. Beat me up if you want to, but there's still some fight left in this old guy. You know, you might hit me once or twice, but you know what? I'm going to take you out. That's how bullheaded I am. I won't quit. But why should I quit when I know I've got the greatest power in the universe at my disposal? But so many Christians don't use it. They don't believe that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Why not? It's there. He said it. I believe it. And you can call me stupid or dumb or naive or whatever, but I believe it. And listen, if you believe in something strong enough, how about yourself? Do you believe in yourself? How many people, you know, you hear it all the time. Well, you ain't handsome enough to make it. You ain't suave enough to do it. Honey, you ain't pretty enough to do it. You can't do it. You ain't smart enough. You ain't got enough money. You're stupid. You're dumb. You know why I say all that? Hogwash. Because the Lord says, the Lord says. That's what we got to get to. That's where we got to be. The Lord says. Find out what the Lord thinks of you. Find out what he says about you. Something about an apple and an eye or something like that. I'm going to give you an example. Are you listening? I'm going to give you a test when we're done. Like it or not, doors will be locked here shortly. Think of trying to break a stone. Now listen to me, really. Think about this in your life. I think we can all say, amen, Jack, I've been there. Think of trying to break a stone. You may hit it 99 times and nothing happens. Then suddenly, on the next hit, it breaks. Amen, brother? There you go. And then it breaks. You hit the stupid stone 99 times. Wham, wham, sweating, shoulders hurting, back's going to break. Bam, bam. Keep hitting that stone. All your friends going by and say, man, Ricardo has lost his mind. Cole, what are you doing that? That's stupid, man. I think I can do it. So he keeps beating on this stone. 99 times. And then, on the next hit, it breaks. If you hadn't hit it that 100th time, you would not have gotten the result. Even though nothing appeared to be happening, that stone was weakening. That problem that you're going through and you're facing, listen, it is weakening. It is starting to give through, and it's going to break. But can you handle it until it does? Can you trust God enough until it does? Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. Suddenly, everything can change. If you stand firm, you will see victory. If you stand firm. Marilyn and I was talking before the service. I was talking about a certain situation, and it's been going on for years. Been going on for years, Marilyn, right? All right. She's bound and determined. She's taken her stance. She's dug in. And she's going to stay dug in because she believes in the Word of God and that the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. And she has prayed, and things are starting to change. The stone is weakening. And I'm believing with her, and I'm going to be excited when I hear from her, and she's going to tell me, Jack, remember what we talked about in church that morning? Uh-huh. Well, guess who is here? Hallelujah. Yeah. Courage is contagious. Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. Billy Graham said that. It's pretty cool, ain't it, Cole? Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. Billy Graham. We must have resolve, firmness of purpose, or a fixed purpose. We must become and remain resolute, brave, and courageous. We must have a resolute and unshakable faith. We must practice resistance. And I shared with you before, James 4, 7, and 8, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will, not maybe, he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Will that be you? Will the devil devour you? Will you allow him to take you out? Listen, most of us in here are over 15. We've been fighting this fight. We've been running this race. Listen, just dig in. Go for the long haul. You've got too much invested. Too many years invested. Too many people in your lives invested to quit now. I, personally myself, I try not to hang around with quitters. You know what? I really don't want to hang around with. When I was in Vietnam, a young man, there were certain guys you knew that if they sent you out on a patrol, and if they told me I have to go out and man an ambush or going on patrol, I'd pick guys like Jerry, Ricardo, others in here that I know, Cole, people that I know. Where's Mr. Sam? All right, Mr. Sam, I'd take him because I know these men. And I know that they'll have my back. They'll help protect me and keep me alive, even if it means that they put themselves in danger. So I'm going to hang out with the guys that I know are men of faith. I'm going to hang out with people that I know that have a walk with God and can and will and have exhibited standing firm in the faith. That's who I want. That's who I want to have my back. But on the same token, I have to be that for them. So that we was watching a movie last night, The Hunger Games. I never seen it before. But I learned a lot by watching that, about people coming together, even though they were from different churches. They came together for a purpose. They were from different tribes. They all knew that the end result was somebody's going to live and somebody's going to die. But for the time being and for what they had to go through, they came together. We need to do that. We need to be people that's going to stand firm. The greatest gift, now listen to this. Everybody listening, watching the baby, which one are we going to do? The greatest gift that a trial or tragedy brings is it forces us to reconsider the things we've taken for granted. Wow. So the trial, the tribulation that you may be going through, the greatest gift that a trial or tragedy brings is it forces us to reconsider the things we've taken for granted. The greatness of a man's power is in the measure of his surrender. You want to be a great man? You want to be a great man? Surrender yourself to God. We must make a choice. Will we stand and stand firm, or will we give up the fight? A life without God. A life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point. A life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point. It's basically useless. It can lay there on your desk. You can't write with it. can't get your work done with it. But if you pick it up and you sharpen it, it becomes a mighty instrument with which you can write letters, sign signatures to things that will pass. So how about us? Do we need sharpened? Do you or me, do we need sharpened? I want you to think about that. And I can't stress it enough. The day in which we're living, all of us in here, we know what's going on in this world. And I'm telling you, I'm not a prophet, but I believe that things are going to get a lot worse. Are you ashamed to pray in public over your food? When I'm in a restaurant and I bow my head to pray, there better not, there just better not be somebody come up and touch me on the shoulder and tell me that's offensive to me. Stop it. The game is on. Because you know what? I'm going to tell them, I'm offended that you're offended that I pray over my food. And I'll try not to be smart. Try to be the Christian that I'm supposed to be. But listen, I'm digging in just like Ricardo did. I'm digging in because somebody died for me. Somebody gave his life. And he's healed me. He's delivered me. He saved me. And I like what our sister said. He's got to not just be your Savior. You must allow him to be the Lord over your life. It's one thing to have a Savior, but how many of us resist letting someone tell us what to do or direct our life? So I just leave you with this. Your decision. Your decision. Are you going to stand firm or are you just going to stand around? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the cross. Father, we thank you for this word today. Lord, we ask in humility that you would help us to be believers and to be those that choose to stand firm in our faith, that even if it costs us, and no one knows that better than you, Lord Jesus, it cost you your life, but you willingly went to the cross, suffered the shame of crucifixion. You stood firm all the way to the nails and the beatings, the humility. You never wavered. And because of that example, Lord, we can do it too. Help us to be strong and help us to stand firm. In Jesus' precious name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Pastor.
It's kind of clear now. The Lord said earlier, I'm here. Where are you? Now we need to make up our minds where we are and how we're going to stand. And you know, I got a whole sermon from that, Brother Jack. I'll preach it next Sunday. It's called Follow Up from Jack. But one thing I want to say, the word in there that's in that verse of scripture. In New King James, it's translated, withstand, and having done all, stand. Now that word withstand is from a Greek word, anthistomai. It's the word that we get our English word, antihistamine, that you take to get rid of all some of the symptoms, you know, of things that are going on in your body. And you know what antihistamine fights? It fights histamine, which is a substance in our body that'll break down your body. And we've got all kinds of things going on around us that'll break us down. But if we withstand it, if we use the antihistamine on it, we bring it under control. And it doesn't run wild in our body. Having done all, stand. And you know, we can do that because of what we're getting ready to do here in just a minute. Somebody wants to come up here and move these things for me. And we're going to get ready to share communion together. And what this represents is what gives us the ability to stand. The shed blood of Jesus, his broken body, his death and his life restored. All the authority and power and the ability to withstand and to stand firm comes from what Jesus did at Calvary. And by taking this communion, what we are doing is we're saying, Lord, I accept it. I receive it as my own. I understand that you did it, and therefore, it's for my benefit. And because of what you did, I now have new life, and I have the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so, just purpose in your heart. This is not just a religious activity. This is not just a church ordinance. That'll work. Not just an ordinance of the church, but it's the power of God unto salvation. That blood that cleansed you gave you the power that made it possible for us to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So now, as we prepare ourselves, I want you to stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the grace that's reflected in this sacrifice. And that we do this, Lord God, in remembrance of what you've done for us. And that we accept it as our own. And we commemorate, Lord God, that time in our lives when Jesus came in and our sins were gone and we have new life now in Christ. We give you praise and glory for it, Lord God. And let us stand firm in it. Focus our attention upon you as we participate in the communion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.